In the tiny Himalayan kingdom of Nepal, a brutal conflict between Maoist guerrillas and government forces has intensified in recent days. There were several clashes last week about 200 miles west of the capital, Kathmandu. Casualty reports are hard to verify, but it's believed that hundreds were killed on both sides in some of the worst fighting of the six-year Maoist insurgency. NPR's Michael Sullivan reports from Kathmandu.
The western part of Nepal, where the rebels are strongest, is ideal guerrilla country, a place of high mountains and deep valleys, where roads are scarce and poorly maintained, where the Maoists are able to strike quickly, then melt back into the forest. Late Tuesday night, hundreds of Maoists surrounded, then attacked the hilltop government garrison in Gam, catching the Nepalese forces there by surprise. One soldier, out on patrol when the attack occurred, returned to find more than 70 of his fellow soldiers dead.
They fight very hard. They fight more than 3 hours because of the weather. They had also very hard time. They killed more than 150 Maoists. I can't imagine. All our troops, they are dead in the trench side. I don't know what happened. Anyway, we try our best.
While some soldiers help dispose of the rebel dead, others are getting ready to be rotated out. The army claims of more than 150 rebels killed here are impossible to verify. What is clear is that more than 1,000 people on both sides have been killed in the past 6 months. The village of Gam is in the heart of rebel territory, retaken by government forces last month. But the cost of holding it appears to be too high. The Royal Nepalese Army, barely 45,000 strong, is simply spread too thin. The army says it's now pulling out of Gam, a tactical withdrawal, says one officer, in order to have enough troops to defend another, larger garrison nearby. For Gam resident Nanda Bahadur, the army decision is alarming. The army has been protecting us for a month. If they go, the Maoists will come back and we'll have to give them rice and money, the villager says. We need the security forces here. I don't know what we'll do without them. When the Maoist movement began 6 years ago, many Nepalis, especially in the rural areas, welcomed the guerrillas. These desperately poor parts of the country have been largely ignored by the politicians in Kathmandu. Plagued by poverty and illiteracy, they often lack basic health care facilities or even access to clean water. The Maoists offered an alternative to the corrupt, incompetent, and indifferent politicians these people were used to. Kunda Dixit is editor of the Nepali Times.
Earlier, when they first started out 6 years ago, it was a very populist movement. I mean, they got rid of the village crooks. They went after the moneylenders or the landowners. And they didn't really start killing in the beginning, but they targeted and they chased away the bad guys, you know, so they really had a Robin Hood image.
But that image didn't last very long. The Maoists quickly turned to extortion and robbery to finance their struggle. Michael Malinowski, the U.S. ambassador in Kathmandu, says the terror tactics used by the Maoists are similar to those used by the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia.
They seem to be trying to move out anybody who could potentially be an opponent. These include not only government officials or security types, but simple folk.
Human rights groups accuse both the rebels and the government forces of abuses, including torture and summary execution, charges the government denies and the rebels ignore. The conflict here received little attention abroad for most of the last 6 years, but all that changed after September 11th. Since then, the Nepalese government has succeeded in casting this conflict as part of the global war on terror. Last week, President Bush received Nepal's Prime Minister, Sher Bahadur Dhuba, in Washington and pledged U.S. support for the government in its war here. And the administration is requesting $20 million from Congress to help train and outfit what Ambassador Malinowski describes as Nepal's eager but ill-equipped army.
It's as simple as boots, radios, trucks, rifles, body armor, night vision equipment. They just don't have it.
Some critics say foreign assistance for the military isn't the answer. More spending on social programs aimed at battling poverty and illiteracy, they say, would go a long way toward eliminating the conditions that helped breed the Maoists in the first place. Prime Minister Dhuba, however, says peace is a prerequisite for development. And while the Maoists say they'll observe a one-month ceasefire beginning Wednesday, few expect the government to respond in kind. The rebels walked out of peace talks and broke the last ceasefire in November, angering Prime Minister Diouba. Achyut Wagle, an advisor to the Prime Minister, says the time for talk is over.
I don't think there is any possibility of dialogue. The wholehearted concentration is on controlling terrorism by the military means.
But few here believe a military solution is possible, though U.S. assistance may help the Nepalese government force the Maoists to the negotiating table. The problem, says Kunda Dixit, editor of the Nepali Times, is that the Maoists are even less likely to compromise than the government.
That these guys are not a democratic force. They don't believe in democracy. They find parliaments too messy. And they want not just to be top dog, but they want to be only dog. That's what they're fighting for.
Which makes the prospect of an end to this brutal conflict unlikely anytime soon. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Kathmandu.